3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula!
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
Exfabula Radio Time once again on Lake Effect Weekend. This is Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bruce Winter, and co-founder Leah Delaney is here, as she is every weekend, with stories from past story slams and other events. And always we have a theme every week for the stories that we present. And this week?
Neighbors or neighborhood. Hmm. So the reason why we chose this theme for this week is that the Wauwatosa All-City Read is coming up. And the title is One City, One Book, Lots of Ways to Bring Neighbors Together. That's their theme this year. So TOSA's All-City Read is a common reading program designed to bring neighbors together and build a sense of camaraderie and community. Does that sound familiar?
Mm.
While promoting literacy for all ages. And this year's book is A Man Called Uva, which is not so coincidentally just about neighbors, actually. So,
well, I think you guys may have started something, or at least laid the seed by having events and things that bring people together and mm-hmm. begin conversation. And, you know, maybe our people are following your lead. That's
well,
good.
I do hope so. And we're going to have another opportunity for people to follow our lead on February 12th, because Exfabula is going to be joining TOSA All City Reads for a storytelling workshop. And this is where you're going to learn how to select a story and structure it and practice it before you can take the stage. This workshop's free, I might add, and it's going to be held at the TOSA Public Library. And so, like, after people complete the workshop, you're going to have an opportunity to polish it up for a story slam that's going to be held on February 22nd at Cranky Al's. So we're hoping that everybody's going to come take advantage of a free workshop. This is pretty cool stuff we're offering up to the public here.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about our first story? What do we got here?
Yeah, let's roll right into it. Speaking of neighborhoods and community, we had an event, a Story Slam event, with Doors Open Milwaukee this past year. The story is from Kendra Spain, and it's all about wanting the community back in her neighborhood. So let's listen to Kendra Spain.
I would love to live in my neighborhood, not just on Saturday and Sunday, away from my neighborhood. I live on 35th and Silver Spring, me and my husband. Life didn't just used to always be this way for us. I remember growing up as a young girl on the northeast side on Richard Street. I remember adults and children from different cultural backgrounds having fun and enjoying themselves. I remember adults talking to one another, communicating with one another and getting to know each other. I remember adults telling stories to each other and saying, hello, hey, how are you doing? I remember as a kid, we used to run up and down the streets, running just to see who was the fastest, or running to the ice cream truck just to get your favorite snow cone, whatever flavor that was. I remember getting strawberry shortcake ice creams or whatever variety ice cream you wanted at the time. I remember going to the corner stores with other kids in a neighborhood, whether that was just to go get some penny candy or a 50-cent popsicle, and sharing it with one another. I remember us filling up water balloons or water guns and having water fights with one another. Those were the good days that I remember. I remember if there was cookouts, whether in the house or just a cookout in the back of the house, people can always have something to eat. That felt like family to me. But I remember one tragedy story that happened in our neighborhood. It was a young girl who was hit by the ice cream truck. She laid in the street. I remember hearing screams. I remember hearing cries. People was running to her aid, just bringing towels outside of their homes just to put on her bleeding head. She was bleeding from her frontal all the way to her chin, and it was split. It was blood everywhere. I remember some going to get her mother, some calling 911. Because they were just so concerned about this little girl that laid in the street with a bleeding head. My dad got out of jail at the age of 12. Him and my mom lived in separate homes. My dad was a very stern person. He had a good smile. He used to walk me to school every day, whether it was to my math class, my art class or to the cafeteria. And I remember the little girls in my class used to always say, "Kendra, is that your daddy?" And I would say, "Yeah." And they were like, "Ooh, he's very attractive. He's handsome. If I was old enough, I would date your daddy." And I would just laugh, looking at these little girls. And then he used to always kiss me on my forehead. He even taught me how to do martial arts because he was good at it. But one day I wasn't at school. My dad came to visit me. At 2 a.m. on this day, two guys came to his house, knocked on the door, told him to come out. A confrontation happened with them. He fought the guys out off of him. He managed to run in the house. He was shot in his leg. He managed to try to go in the door, and a bullet went through the door and pierced him in his chest, and he fell in the basement and died on the scene instantly. Okay, I'm sorry, hold on. Ooh, that's tough, okay. Okay, so this was a tragic event in my life because I felt pain and hurt. He was the 101 homicide in Milwaukee. He was killed on 37th and Stark. He was killed in 2002. I felt like no one was concerned for him or gave information just to solve his case. I felt like people just stayed inside their homes with their doors closed, frightened to speak up and say something. I don't even know how to knock on doors or how to break down neighborhood barriers. I wish that I can live my life Monday through Friday on 35th and Sheridan. I wish that people can get to know one another, talk to each other. I wish kids can run up and down the street just to go to the ice cream truck or run up and down the street just to see who was the fastest. I wish there was neighborhood in my neighborhood, family in my neighborhood.
And that was Kendra Spain's story that she originally told at our Doors Open Milwaukee event.
Mm-hmm. That's the story started out as almost like, these are all the good things I remember about my neighborhood, but then this. And you know, I want my neighborhood back.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people long for that for sure.
Yeah.
So we are going to roll into the next story, which was told by Christia Wildflower. And Christia's story is especially timely because we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of the Fair Housing Marches, which started back in August of 1967. So, you know, before we roll into that story, we do want to make an amendment to that. If you, the listeners, have a personal story about the marches or have a relative that has a personal experience, whether they were a marcher or a bystander or just remember having reactions to the Fair Housing Marches back in 1967, you know, we would really welcome you to come visit us at exfabula.org or call 414-530-3503. And leave us a message about that because we would love to garner those stories. Without further ado, based on neighborhood and neighbors, here's Christia Wildflower's story.
In my neighborhood, it was simple. Love thy neighbor. Unless you were a Jew or a jigaboo. Honest to God, that was the term my father used. I grew up on 64th and North Avenue. Across the street from my house was a George Webb's. Two doors down was Handy Andy Tropical Fish Store. And right next door was Schilke's Gun Shop. I remember the day that the police came to empty Schilke's Gun Shop. You see, Father Grappi was going to march up North Avenue, and they were afraid of race riots and looting. And so they got rid of every weapon that was there. I don't understand to this day how people can grow up in the same neighborhood, go to the same schools, have the same sort of jobs, the same sort of income, and grow up so entirely different. Most of my neighborhood was Irish Catholic. My parents, like the neighbor Schilkes, were German. But the Germans were clearly divided. There were the Lutheran Germans, and there were the Jews. But one thing we all had in common was that they were racist. And Father Grappi's march was to integrate neighborhoods, and no one wanted them to live there. Now, I was introduced at a rather young age to, well, colored people, as my parents would politely say. When my dad and I would get in the car and go down North Avenue to Sears on 27th and North. My father loved Sears, but he hated Negroes, or that other N-word that he would use. I personally enjoyed these trips. I got to be on a trip in the car with my dad all by myself, and then, if I was good in the car, when we went into the store, we'd go hang out in the hardware and tool department. And then, if I was really good, we would get a quarter pound of malted milk balls from the chocolate department at Sears. And my favorite part was to look at all the colorful people. I didn't get it. What was not to like? The clothes, the music, the dancing. It was awesome. After Father Grappi's march, there was some headway into Wauwatosa. Well, you see, I grew up taking the North Avenue bus to go down to Bradford Beach, and I was one of the few kids in Tulsa that would do that. My girlfriends were way too scared to go past Sears through the inner core, as it was called, and hang out on the beach with all the But yet they had no hesitations whatsoever to take the bus all the way out to Mayfair. But on the Mayfair North Avenue bus, they saw some black people. But those black people were in the white territory. Because you see, 60th Street on North Avenue was the borderline between the white world and the rest of the world. When the things started changing and integration started inching its way into Tulsa, there were CYO dances. That was the Catholic Youth Organization, which I was not part of, but they were my neighbors and they were my friends, and so I would go to the dances because I loved to dance and get down. Now, when I was dancing with those guys, they would say to me, "Girl, you dance like a well, like us." I loved it. When I came home one time and said to my mother, "Oh, Mom, you should see the boy I just met." She said, "All right, you've got that love in your eyes sort of look. Tell me his name. Where'd you meet him? What's he look like?" "His name is Dennis Anderson, and he's got the biggest smile I've ever seen. And, oh, he's got brown eyes and black hair and brown skin." She said, "No. No way. You will not see him again, ever." Well, I was never able to change my parents' mind. But my daughter now, my oldest daughter, she is a senior at UWM. She's a dance major. And she took African dance from the same teacher that I did 30-some years ago. She called me up recently, and she said, Mom, I'm so excited. I just got a job teaching at a studio on 64th and North, right where you grew up. Mom, it's so cool." I'm so proud of her because you know what? She knows to love her neighbors, and she doesn't care whether they're gay or straight or black or white or Muslim or Christian or Jewish. She loves her neighbors. Think I'll go back home.
And that was Christia Wildflower's story that she actually told at our neighbor's Story Slam back in 2010.
And if you were of a certain age, you remember how important those fair housing marches were in the city. And it was the dominant news story for the whole summer of 67, Ron. And we'll have more next week. X-Fabula Radio, a part of Lake Effect Weekend every Saturday and Sunday. We thank Leah Delaney for coming in and bringing the stories and the chit-chat. It's always fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
All right.